We're starting here at the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Kol shelo zacha hamizbeach bibsara, lo zachu hakohanim be'ora." In order for the kohanim to be entitled to the skin of the animal, the mizbeach has to end up with the basar. Meaning that the basic principle is that the mizbeach has to be fed first, and only then can the kohanim get their portion in the korban. Shenemar, olat ish, ola she'alta li'ish. Because it says about the Ola, it calls it the Olat Ish, Ola belonging to the individual. What does that mean, belong to the individual? Meaning that She'alta li'ish, that it actually worked out. The Korban actually did what it was supposed to do for that individual. Then the Kohanim are entitled to get there, or to get the skin that is associated with the Ola. Now obviously we're talking about here, about an Ola, because that's the Korban in which the Kohanim are only entitled to the Ora, to the skin, of the animal. We'll see later on that the Gemara will include other korbanot for the skins, but the Mishnah is addressing the one korban where the unique item that the kohen gets is the or. Ola shenishchata shelo lishma, an ola that was done lo lishma, afo pish lo alta lebalim, ora lekohanim. Now the Mishnah almost immediately retracts its previous statement. In the previous statement it says, well, if it works for the balim, then the kohanim get their or, get the skins. Yet, in this next scenario, where the Ola is done shelo lishma, we've learned earlier in the Masechta that an Ola shelo lishma is kasher, aval lo alta lebalim. And that's what the Mishnah addresses here. It says, well, if an Ola is done lo lishma, even though it does not help out the balim in terms of being discharging their obligation, nevertheless, the Ora lekohanim, it still goes to the kohanim, and we'll have to discuss the why that is. Echad olat ish, ve'echad olat isha, orotem lekohanim. Both, if the korban is brought by a man or a woman, the kohanim are entitled to the or. So we're not learning olat ish to be a man only. Olat ish is the generic term ish, and will be used to exclude something else, but it includes even a woman's ola. Orot kodshei kalim lebalim. When it comes to kodshei kalim, the orot, the skins, belong to the balim, belong to the owners. Orot kodshei kodoshim. On the other hand, orot of kodshei kodoshim, for example, things like a chatat, an asham, besides the ola, la kohanim, or also go to the kohanim, kal v'chomer. Ma'im ola shlo zachu bivsara, when it comes to an ola, where the kohen has no entitlement to anything from the karban, including its flesh, zachu b'ara, despite the fact they're still entitled to take from the skin. Kodshei kodashim shezachu bivsara. The kodshei kodashim, for instance, the chatat, the asham, where they are entitled to eat from the basar, ein udin shizku b'ara, then certainly they should get the skins. Ein mizbeach yuchiach, and you cannot disprove this kal v'chomer from the mizbeach, shein lo or b'chol makom. Because the basic idea here as well, if the item gets basar, then it certainly should get the or. Well, I'll go to the mizbeach. The mizbeach, when it comes to the ola, gets the basar, but doesn't get the or, doesn't get the skin. So maybe we should say that's a pircha to this kal v'chomer. Maybe just because you get the basar does not necessarily entitle you to the or. And we see that from the mizbeach. The mizbeach where the ola gets the basar, yet it does not get the or. So the Mishnah says that's not a good pircha, because the mizbeach never gets the or. The mizbeach never ends up with the skins, and therefore there's no proof from it about anything to do with skins. And we're going to look within the kohanim. And within the kohanim, it's certain if we get the skins when they don't get the basar, then when they do get the basar, they're certainly going to be entitled to the skins. So Tan Rabbanan, olat ish. What do we do with that pasuk olat ish? Prat, the olat hekdesh, divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that olat ish comes to exclude a case or a situation where we're talking about olat hekdesh. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Meir Prat, Lo Olat Gerim. That means to exclude the Ola of a Gerim, where this would not be true. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss each one of these two opinions. My Prat, Lo Olat Hekdesh. What does it mean that when we say Olat Ish and not Olat Hekdesh? Amar Abchir Bar Yosef, Prat, Lo Ola Haba Mina Motarot. This comes to exclude an Ola that comes from the leftovers. Now, the Motarot over here, when we're talking about, are leftovers from a Korban. And those leftovers from the korban that are not used for the particular korban, because of whatever reason, we're going to explain in a second, they are moved over to be used as ketz mizbeach, to use as olot on the mizbeach. As Rashi explains over here, Minamotarot, that chol hashamot shel re'iya, any korban hasham, that for whatever reason there was a psul involved with it, there are five things that make it psul, by a chatat, which is meita, by the hasham, it's put out to graze until it gets a mum, a blemish, then it's redeemed, and then those monies are given over as motarot for olot on the mizbeach. And that's what's called olat, ketz mizbeach. That's the additional items that are placed on the mizbeach when it's idle. Now these aren't olat ish, because they don't belong to the particular individual. Once his asham has already been determined to need to go out l'riyah and then exchanged into an olah, it no longer is his. It's not under his personal ownership anymore. It becomes the property of the tzibur, and when it's sold, the monies will go towards nidvata tzibur, and the nisachim then will be brought from the tzibur. And the Balim have no interaction with it. They don't do shechita on it. They don't do smicha on it. They are not the owners any longer of that korban. So that's what we're talking about. These motor wrote over here, that prat lolat hekdesh, means that olat ish, the kohanim are entitled to the or the skin of an ish, when it's brought by a personal or private individual. But when it's brought on behalf of the mikdash as a whole, like the kids mizbeach, then the kohanim are not entitled to the orot. Mar says, anich leman damar motorot l'nidvat tzibur. That goes well according to one who says that when it comes to these leftovers of the Ashamot that are dedicated to go towards the Nidvat Tzibur, and they become property of the public or to the Tzibur in general, that's fine. Alaman Damar Motorot, the Nidvat Yachid Azle, but according to the Mandamar, it's a machloket in the Tmura, whether the Asham, when it's exchanged into an Ola, when there's something wrong with the Asham and therefore has to be exchanged into an Ola, whether those monies are given to the Tzibur as a whole, or the individual then exchanges it and brings the Ola personally. Well, if he brings the Ola personally, number one is that he will also be obligated to provide the Nisachim, not the Tzibur. In addition, he will be able to do Smicha on it and do Shechita because it's his personal Korban Ola. So now it works well according to the one who says that the Ashamot, when they are put out to graze and get a blemish and then redeemed, that those monies go towards the Nidvat Tzibur, then it makes sense because that would be excluded from a Latish. On the other hand, if you believe that the owner of the Asham then gets the Ola to be brought as Nidava personally, then in that scenario, it's still a Latish. It still belongs to the individual. And why would that be excluded from Olat Ish versus Olat Hekdesh? You wouldn't have that miut in this case. Tosus points out over here, he says, according to one who says that Motrot go to Nidvat Tzibur, why is this any different than leftovers from the Olat HaTamid? Why do you memayit the leftovers of the Asham and not memayit the leftovers of the Korban Tamid that are also used for Kates Mizbeach? So he says, V'ish lomar desvaruhu, lim ute tfei motarot, mishim dayumi kor li'ish. He says that it makes more sense to exclude these items that were once belonging to a personal individual, and that ownership has now been transferred to the ownership of the tzibur. So since they were once olat ish, and now they're olat tzibur, that's why we're using the miut to exclude them, even though there are other olot that have leftovers that are brought by the tzibur. Nevertheless, we focused on an individual's ownership, and now it has been transferred into the public ownership. So now, according to one who says, Motrot nidvat tzibur azle, Michael Meimar, what is he going to say? Kedama Rava, ha'ula, ula rishona. Hachenami, ha'ula, ula rishona. So we have a principle, we're going to learn this again in the Kodshim a number of times, which is that when it comes to Olat HaTamid, it says ha'ula. Ha'ula means the ula. The ula, with the idea, is talking about the Olat HaTamid Shashachar. And from that we learn out, and Rava says, ha'ula teaches us that all karbanot kulam have to be finished on Ha'ula, on the Olat Shel Tamid HaShachar. From there we learn that you're not allowed to bring any other karbanot after the Olat HaTamid Shel Ben Arbayim is brought. Everything has to be brought with the Olat HaTamid Shel Shachar, nothing after the Olat HaTamid Shel Ben Arbayim. And we learn that out from the Heidia for the word Ha'ula. So the Gemara says we'll do the same thing over here. When it comes to the word Ola that is used by the Olat Ha'ish, we're going to use the word Ha'ula is used in that pasuk as well. And the word Ha'ula over there will teach us that it's the Ola, Ola Rishona, that with the Heidah, only that when it's brought primarily or in the first instance as an Ola, are the Kohanim entitled to the skins. But if they are brought as a secondary karban, meaning that another karban was brought, like an asham, something went wrong, and now the asham has to go out to graze, get a blemish, redeemed, and then brought as an olah, even though it remains an olat yachid, it's no longer olah rishona. It's the derivative of an asham. It's not an olah that was primarily brought to be an olah. And therefore, they will not be entitled to the orot. And that's what we exclude from olat ish, but lo olat hekdesh. So even though we're not talking about hekdesh in the sense of public ownership, like the mandama who thinks that that goes to olat tzibur, nevertheless, we're talking about an olah that does not qualify like the olah that you bring if you brought it primarily to be an olah. So just in summary, just like by the olat tamid, we say varech aleha ha'ula being the olat hatamid shel shachar, and on that we have to be ma'arich all the other korbanot of the Mikdash. And that's how we know that that has to be the first korban in the Mikdash, as well as everything done before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Also over here, when it says, Ba'olat Ha'ish, Or Ha'olah, there it talks about the Or Ha'olah. So Or Ha'olah, that the skin goes to the Kohanim, is Ha'olah. Ha'olah, again, will only reference to something that was primarily bought to be an Olah, not something that comes from leftovers of another korban and then is exchanged to be an Olah. Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Hanai, Prat L'matpis Olah L'Berek Abayit. And it comes to exclude a case of being Matpis Olah L'Berek Abayit. In this instance, we're going to say that the skins do not go to the Kohanim. Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Hanai, Prat L'matpis Olah L'Berek Abayit. Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Hanai here is coming to give an alternative to what it means, Prat L'Hekdesh. We have two opinions before. One is Prat Olah L'Hekdesh, another one is Prat Olah L'Gerim. In Prat Olah Tekdesh, we had one explanation by Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, who said it's Prat Olah La'ula Bra Mina Mutarot. And now Rabbi Aibo, Rabbi Yana, is giving us the alternative, which is Prat Matpis Olah the Berek HaBayit. And we'll see later that there's a third position about how to explain Olah Tekdesh. Rabbi Aibo, Rabbi Yana, Prat Matpis Olah the Berek HaBayit. It comes to exclude someone who donated it to Berek HaBayit. Now, donations to Berek HaBayit are monetary items or money itself that's given towards the upkeep of the Mikdash. Not used for a korbanot, but rather for the uses of the Mikdash, whatever they were, to the coffers of the Mikdash. So now, what this individual did was, he was matpis. He took the korban, he says that its value will be given to the Berek HaBayit. Lo mi bay lamand amar kodshe Berek HaBayit tafse mido oraita. I'm not saying, even according to the one who says that Berek HaBayit takes effect on such a korban min haTorah, el afilu man damar lo tafsi, even according to the one who says that it doesn't take hold, hani mili bebasar, that's only with the flesh, aval ba'or tafis, when it comes to the skins, it is tofes. Okay, so let's explain this more clearly, which is that when it comes to the korban ha'olah, it belongs to Hekdesh. Well, since it belongs to Hekdesh, it's going on the Mizbeach, how could you matpis, how could you donate the value of such an animal to Hekdesh? It's not yours. You have to have ownership in order to give it over to Hekdesh or to donate it to Hekdesh. So over there, when we're talking about the basar, there is a machloket in the Gemara and Tmura, the Gabay, someone who is matpis and olah l'berek habayit. What are your rights? Whether you have the ability to give over the basar dedicated or donated to the Mikdash or not. Ula says the rights there to be matpis, to donate that money to the berek habayit, you don't really have rights there because it doesn't belong to you. You can't donate something that doesn't belong to you. But then again, you went ahead and did it. So Ula says that midrabbanan, we allow the gizvarim, the treasurers, to withhold hold your right to bring this korban olah until you've redeemed it, until you've taken the monetary value of the animal and paid it to the Berek HaBayit. After that point in time, we allow you then to bring it as a korban. The other opinion is that midoraita, you have a right to donate such an item to the Mikdash, and therefore the Berek HaBayit, the Mikdash, owns that basar midoraita from the Torah, and you'll have to redeem it in order to bring the korban, because the Torah says that this korban is no longer roi to kill the Mizbeach until you've redeemed it and given the money's owed to the Berek HaBayit. So certainly, according to one who says that the basar, the animal itself, has a lien on it from Berek HaBayit, from the Torah, then certainly the orot that go to the Kohanim, he has the ability then to donate, and they will belong to the Berek HaBayit. Our only question is, according to the one who says midrabbanan, that midoraita, there is no lien over here because you don't own it. Nevertheless, that opinion will agree. That's only when we're coming to talk about the basar which belongs to the mizbeach, that you can't dedicate to the Berek HaBayit. On the other hand, when it comes to the orot that belong to the Kohanim, there you're able to donate it and you're able to give it to the Berek HaBayit, and the Kohanim will not be entitled to it because the orot don't belong to the Kohanim until it's shechted and brought as an olah. So before that point in time, the orot are still within your purview to be makdish them, and therefore once you're makdish them, they belong to Berek HaBayit. Well, if they belong to Berek HaBayit, then they're no longer called olat ish, it's now called olat hekdesh. And if it's called olat hekdesh, then the Kohanim are precluded from getting their right or exercising their right to the skins, and the skins will go to the Berek HaBayit. So v'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Barvua, now we have Rav Nachman Barvua following the opinion prat l'olah haba min ha-motarot. He takes up the opinion or the explanation that was given before by Pchir by Yosef, that the prat l'hekdesh means prat l'olah haba min ha-motarot. So amar Rav Hamnuna the Rav Nachman, Rav Hamnuna asks Rav Nachman, Kiman, who are you holding like? He says, well, k'Rabbi Yehuda. He says, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, whose opinion? It says, Tarabanan olat ish prat olat hekdesh. So I'm explaining what that olat hekdesh is in the opinion or position of Rabbi Yehuda. And based on that, I'm going to explain to you what olat hekdesh Kedeshes, Olata Kedeshes, Prato Laba Minamotarot. So Rabbi Menuna says to him, wait a minute. Ha Hadarbe, you were thinking like Rabbi Yehuda. He already reversed his position. Detanya, we have a Braita. Shishalin in Dava, there are six of the horns. There were these stucca boxes, horns, shofarot, in the Mikdash where people used to deposit their coins depending on what their need for a korban was. Six of those horns or stucca boxes were the Nidava. One of them is the Ola Ba Mina Motorot, that the Ola that comes from the Motorot was placed in there. Shelo Yehei Kohanim Zaki'im Be'ora Divir Rabbi Yehuda. The reason that a separate box for the Motorot is so that the Kohanim would know that they do not get the skins in that instance. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, which accords with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which we've seen before. So then Amar Lo Rabbi Nechemia, V'Amar Lo Rabbi Shimon, came Bidalta Midrasho Shel Yehoyada HaKohen. Then you have ruined the drasha that Yehoyada HaKohen made. Titania, Zem Midrasho Darash Yehoyada HaKohen, Asham Hu, Ashom, Asham Lashem. So what are you dash from this pasuk? Kol ba mishum chatat umishum asham. Anything that's brought for a chatat or an asham, ilakach bo olot. Then you will purchase with it olot. Habasar lashem, the flesh will be given to Hashem, and ora the kohanim, and the skins will be given to the kohanim. So that's how we reconcile the pasuk, which says asham hu, ashom, asham lashem. Is it an Hashem Hu that belongs to the Kohanim? Or is it an Hashem Lashem? Which one is it? Well, Yehoyada Kohen says, I'll explain it to you. It's in a case or in an instance where either you have Motarot Chatat, you were Mafrish monies for Chatat, and you were able to buy the Chatat and you had extra left over. That money goes towards buying Olot for the Mizbeach. You had an Hashem, whatever reason, something went wrong with it. Now it has to go until it gets a blemish. It's left the Riyah, and you tuck the Riyah. Once it gets a blemish, it's redeemed. And those monies are dedicated to bringing an Olah in the Migdash. So now you have a case here where both Chatat and Hashem turn into Olot. But when they turn into Olot, then we have a case of where the Ashom Hashem Lashem, the Korban goes to Hashem, but there's also some that goes to the Kohanim. Because it says Chatat Kashem. The Chatat and Hashem are the similar, and that the Kohanim get rights to it. They eat the Basar, they have rights to the Korban. So where do we have a case where the Kohanim and Hashem get rights to the animal? Well, that'll be in an Olah. So in that instance, when does that happen? That happens in a case where Chatat and Hashem were changed into an Olah. And that's how you have an Hashem that ends up being an Hashem Lashem, as well as being a portion or an Hashem LaKohanim. And the fact that Rabbi Yehuda does not respond to this challenge of Rabbi Nechemia or Rabbi Shimon shows to us that Rabbi Yehuda reversed his opinion, and now he says that Olat Ish does not come to exclude Olat Hekdesh, meaning Olah Haba Min HaMotarot. So Rav Nachman says back to Rav Amnuna, okay, well, if you're not going to explain Olat Hekdesh that is in the position of Rabbi Yehuda as being the things that are Ba Minamota wrote, then how are you going to explain it? What are you going to do with that posuk about Hashem Hu, Hashem Hashem Lashem? Samalei mukminalei ben makdish nechasav. I'm going to explain that case in a case where a person was makdish, he gave to Hekdesh all of his possessions. Ukid Rabbi Yeshua, according to the position of Rabbi Yeshua, Ditnan, we have a Mishnah in Shkalim, a makdish nechasav, someone who gave over all of his possessions to Hekdesh. Vayuban be motru uyot the gabi mizbeach. Amongst his possessions were animals that were always end up in the mizbeach, males and females. Rabbi Eliezer omer zecharim yimachru letzorchei olot. The males will be sold and brought as olot. Nikevot yimachru letzorchei zivchei shlamim. The females will be sold and brought as shlamim. V'dmehem yiplu imshar nechasim leberek abayit. And the value after they are sold, the monies that are retrieved from that, they will go together with all the other of his possessions that are dedicated to Berek HaBayit. That money also will go to Berek HaBayit. The basic principle that Rabbi Lezer has is that when a person is Makdish, he only has one type of Hekdesh in mind. So the only way to have one Hekdesh work out here is to have Hekdesh about Berek HaBayit. Hekdesh Mizbeach can't be what he meant, because he has items here that clearly don't belong on the Mizbeach. So he meant Hekdesh Berek HaBayit. But we have animals that are Ra'oi the Mizbeach. So what do we do in those instances? We sell those animals to be used as Korbanot. We sell the male animals to be used as olot by someone, and we sell the female animals to be used as shlamim. They're now being used on the mizbeach, so that's good. And those monies that we retrieve from the sale of those animals will then be donated to Berek HaBayit. Therefore, all of his possessions were donated to one hekdesh, and that was the hekdesh of Berek HaBayit. That is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua believes that a person is want two or want things to go to two different hekdeshot, and therefore he has a different outcome, which is Rabbi Yoshua mer zecharim atzmam yikarvu olot. If you have male animals there, they should be put on mizbeach and brought as olot. Nikevot, on the other hand, females yimachru letzorchei shlamim v'yivim dmehem olot. There, he would sell the females to be used as shlamim, and then the monies would use then to purchase olot. Why can't you bring the shlamim directly? Because that's not what his intent was. When he donated the monies to Hekdesh, he meant the entirety to Hekdesh. When it comes to a shlamim is partially eaten by the balim, partially by the kohenim, and partially by Hashem. That's not his intent. And therefore, as Rashi points out over here, aval heinatzman lo yikarvu shlamim ad shimachru. Can't can't put them on the Mizbech, you have to sell them. To came in the Makdish Stama Hakol Hikdish, when he did the Hakdish, he meant everything. Haroi the Mizbech, to me the Berek Abayit. Anything that goes on Mizbech should be similar to what he gave to Berek Abayit. That means it's entirety. So that only works with an Olah. And therefore here, you would sell the Shlamim in order to bring in monies that were used to purchase Olot. So the difference between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Lezer, please, there's only one type of Hekdesh that takes place here. It's all the Berek Abayit. That's what you do. Anything that's right in Mizbech, you sell and bring those monies to Berek Abayit. And then Rabbi Shua says no. A person, when they're Makdish, they're Nechassim, they believe. Anything that's not Roydim Mizbech, that goes to Berek Abayit. What is Roydim Mizbech, they expect to end up on the Mizbech. So we do that. We put the Zacharim as Olot. The Shlamim, we sell and use the monies to purchase Olot and put them on the Mizbeach. Mishar Nechassim, you put it to Berek Abayit. And the remainder of his possession will go to Berek Abayit. Ba'afilu Rabbi Yeshua Damar Adam Cholek Hekdesho. Even according to Rabbi Yeshua, it says that you divide up a person's want to, splitting up his intent when he comes to be Makdish something, he'll be Makdish partly to Berek Abayit, partly to the Mizbeach. Even in that instance, Hani Mili Basar. That is only true when it comes to the meat or the flesh of the animal. Aval or tafis. When it comes to the orot, the skins will be dedicated to the Berek Habayit. And the orot will not belong to the Kohanim. So Rav Nachman says back to Rav Amnuna, okay, well, if you're not going to explain Olat Hekdesh that is in the position of Rav Yehuda as being the things that Abba Minamota wrote, then how are you going to explain it? So Rav Amnuna gives the following answer, which is, this is how I'm going to explain it. I will use it in a case where he donates all his possessions to Hekdesh, in the position of Rabbi Yeshua, where there actually will be animals that end up on the Mizbeach. Those animals that end up on the Mizbeach, they are not considered or classified as Olat Ish, they're considered as Olat Hekdesh. Since Olat Hekdesh, the Kohanim will not get the Orot, will not get the skins of those animals, because they do not involve private ownership anymore, they're not Olat Ish anymore, but they are classified as Olat Hekdesh. Now, Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Yehuda Omer Prado Lat Gerim. So now we're going back to the vision of Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm really Rabbi Simai Bar Chlikai the Rabino Atu Ger Lav Yishu. Why is Ger precluded from the word Ish? Ish, why is Ish to the exclusion of a Ger? So I'm really Prado the Ger Shemait Vein Lo Yorshim. We're not talking about the Ger himself. Ger himself is classified as an Ish. The problem is a Ger mate who died and he has no Yorshim, he has no inheritors. So that's why over here he is excluded. It has to be Olat Ish. It has to be an Olat that's owned by someone. I mean, someone has Yorshim and someone is going to take possession of it. By the Ger who has no Yorshim, the Olat is no longer owned by anybody because there's no one to inherit him. And therefore, the Olat now becomes or outside the Parsha of Olat Ish. And it's inside outside the Parsha of Olat Ish, the Kohanim will not be entitled to the Orot in that instance. Tan Rabbanan. Olat Ish. Enli elo Olat Ish. I only know about a man's Korban Olah. Olat Gerim, Nashim, Vavadim, Minayin. How do I know about other individuals who would bring a Korban Olah, like a Ger, a woman, or an Eved, Minayin? How do I know? Tamad Omar, Or HaOlah. That the Or HaOlah comes V'riba. So, Imkein Ma Tamad Omar Olat Ish. Well, if Or HaOlah comes to include everything, then why do I have Olat Ish? Imkein Ma Tamad Omar Olat Ish. So then why does the Torah use the miut of Olat Ish? Olah Shal Talish. That's only an Olah that works. Meaning that if the Korban is kasher, then the Kohanim are entitled to the Or. If the Korban is not kasher, they're not entitled to the Orot. Prat, l'shenishkata chutz l'zmanah chutz l'mkoma. That comes to exclude a case where the Olah is shechted for makshevet chutz l'zmanah, makshevet chutz l'mkoma, when it makes it pasul mi'ikara, comes pasul from the beginning. Shloi Kohanim zakeim ba'orah. Yochol she'ani mirabesh nishkata lo shol lishma. So this is the problem that we saw in our Mishnah. Well, in a case where he does a shol lishma, it's not altal the balim, but it's still a god Olah. So maybe I should also include such a case where they will not get the Olot. Ho v'lo altal the balim, since it didn't work for the balim. Maybe they shouldn't get an entitlement to the Orah. Tamad Omar, Or HaOlah Mikol Makom. They get it no matter what. So the Gemara views the miut of Olat Ish to be limited by the riboy of Or HaOlah. The riboy of Or HaOlah allows us to include more than just Ish, but also allows us to include things that you might have otherwise thought would be Mima'it Ayudei, the word Olat Ish. And therefore we have a mix. Only when the Korban is Pasul Mi'ikara, when it's Pasul the Gamrei, do the Kohanim not get the Orot. On the other hand, if it's a good Korban, just not Altal the Balim, in that instance, they will get a portion in the skins. Now the Braita continues. Or Allah, in li yelo or ha'olah. I would think that the skins of the Olah are the only things that belong to the Kohanim. Orot kodshei kodeshim minayim. How do I know that other kamenot, like the chatat and hasham, it also belongs to them? Tamalomar or Olah, asher yikriv. Asher yikriv, anything that's brought in Mizbeach. Yochel shani mirabeach kodshim kalim. Or asher yikriv, it should include kodshim kalim. Tamalomar Olah. Then it uses the example, or it's written in the Parsha of Olah. Ma Olah kodshei kodeshim. Av kod kodshei kodeshim. So there is a limitation of kodshei kodeshim because it's found in the Parsha of Olah. The only things that are similar to Olah and being a kodshei kodeshim will be included in the reboy of including the items items that the Kohanim get in terms of the Orot. And that would be any Kodshei Kodashim, Chatat Hashem, other things besides the Ola. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Or Ola, In Lielu HaOla, I only know about an Ola. Orot Kodshei Kodashim Inayin. So Rabbi Shmuel's Limud's different. How do I know about Kodshei Kodashim? The Dinu, it's a Kavachomer. Uma Ola, Shalo Zachu Bibsara, Zachu Beora, by the Ola, where they don't get anything in the flesh. They get entitlement to the skins. Kodshei Kodashim, Shazachu Bibsaram. Kodshei Kodashim, like the Chatat and the Hashem, where they do have a right to the Basar, Inu Din Shazachu Beora. Isn't it a din that they should get entitlement to the skins as well? So Mizbeach Yochiach, this is what our Mishnah said is not a good Hokocha. And this is, we know Rabbi Shmuel is that author of that position in our Mishnah. So he says Mizbeach Yochiach, maybe the Mizbeach will prove to you, Shezacha Bebasar, by the Olai gets the Basar, but Lozacha Beor. Mar says that's not a good Pircha. Mal Mizbeach Shekin Lozacha Bemikzat. It never gets a portion of the Or, it never is entitled to the Or. Tomar Bekohanim Shezachu Bemikzat. The Kohanim, at least we know in one instance by the Olai, they do get the Or. So certainly in a case where they get the Basar, they should also, in addition to that, get the Orot. Since they got a portion of the animal, meaning the basar, then clearly they should also get the entirety of the animal. Just like they get a portion, meaning the or, in one of the karbanot, they should get it by all of the karbanot. You can't bring me a proof from Mizbeach, which never has entitlement to the or. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe now gives us a third alternative as how to learn out the fact that the orot entitlement of the Kohanim is not limited to olot, but actually can be expanded to Kodshei Kodashim as well. And Rabbi says, we don't need any of these limudim. The only reason the Torah wrote something is about the Ola, because that's the only place we needed it. Everywhere in Kodshim, the skin always follows the flesh. Wherever it happens to the flesh, happens to the skin. When it comes to Chataot Pnimiyot, where they're brought in and then they are burnt afterwards, when they are burnt up, it's them and their skins, and then and their skins are burnt alongside with them. Those are Kodshei Kodashim, Matana LaKohen. They belong to the Kohen. Ratzu Mafshitin Otam, Lo Ratzu Ochlim Otam Agavoran. They want, they can skin them, keep the skin separately from the Basar, or they can leave the skin on and eat the flesh with the Basar. They have that choice. Kodshei Kalim, the Balim. Kodshei Kalim, the flesh belongs to the Balim. So Ratzu Mafshitin Otam, if they want, they can skin them and keep the skin for themselves. Ratzu Ochlim Otam, or if they prefer, they can eat it with the skin on it. Agavoran. Aval Ola, Nemar Ba, by the Ola, we don't know what to do. It says, that you should skin the animal, you should flay the animal, and then quarter it, or cut it up into parts. Maybe you would think that the Kohanim shouldn't get the Ora, because it's telling you skin it, but then we know the din is everywhere else, that the skin goes along with the Basar. The Basar is going to end up on the Mizbeach here. So maybe the Ora should follow it onto the Mizbeach. That's why we need a specific Pasuk by the Ola. And that's what the Talmud Omar is. The Talmud Omar, or the Pasuk by the Ola is, so Talmud Omar Ola, Shekriv lo yeh. The or of the Olah belongs to one who brings the Korban. In addition, what does it mean? Hashiri kriv, prat l'tvul yom. That comes to exclude a tvul yom. But onain and an onain, because they're unable to be makriv, therefore they're not entitled to orot. Shiachol. I would have thought it might be otherwise. Lo yizku b'basar, shu l'achila. The reason they don't participate in Kodshei Kodashim, in the division of the basar, is because they can't eat the Kodshim. They're not really the achila. But yizku b'or, she'ena l'achila. But maybe by the orot, they should be able to divide up with amongst the others, because it's not about achila there. Tamar lomer lo yiyeh. To the one who is makriv, that it belongs to. So they're excluded from that. Prat mechuser kippurim, utvoyom va'onein, excludes all of these three individuals who are not able to come into contact with the Kodshim, and they're not able to be makriv. Since they can't be makriv, therefore they're not entitled to the orot. Ve'tanakama nami typical emidina. The Tanakama learns it out from the Riboy of the Pasuk of Orola. Why does he learn it out of a Kavachomer like Rabbi Shmuel did? So he's Milta Dachi B'Kavachomer, Tachor Kavachov Lakra. Says, yeah, Enochanami, you could have learned it from a Kavachomer, but that sometimes the Torah goes out of its way to write something that you could have learned from a Kavachomer, and that's the case here. The Limud comes from the Pasuk, even though you might have learned it out from a Kavachomer. From Ishmael, Hayashir Yikriv, Mayavidle, the extra Hashir Yikriv, which the Tanakama used, Orallah Hashir Yikriv, that come to teach you about the fact that Kodshei Kodashim are included, what does he do with that? He says, Pradat Vuyom, Umchusir Kibarim Vonein. He uses that to exclude those individuals because it comes from the word Asheri Kriv, and they can't be Makriv. But typically, Miloia, why does he learn it out from Loia, like the writer just did over here? So he's Rabbi Shmuel Tamei, Rabbi Shmuel's own Shitato, Damar Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Shmuel, Nemer Bola Loia, Venemer Basham Loia. There is a Loia by Nasham and a Loia by the Ola, and we use that for Gzera Shava. malahalan atzmutav mutarim. Just like by the asham, the atzmutav, the bones are mutarim. We saw this recently in the Gemara, and we said over there, why is it that we know by the asham that the bones are mutarim? And we said because of the lotiyah, the extra lotiyah that gives you that right to the bones. So just like the bones are mutarim by the asham, so too by the olah. Afkan atzmutav mutarim by the olah, and they learn that at gzeir shava of loyeh loyeh. Where it says mufne, it better be, these words must be extraneous, because otherwise you can't learn this gzer shava. Dilo mufne, if it's not a gzer shava with extraneous words, ikala mifrach, then you can undermine it. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara when it comes to gzer shava. Gzer shava, does that require the gzer shava to be logical? Or if there's a problem with the gzer shava, we can undermine it. So there are some opinions that gzer shava is always above logic, and you can't argue on gzer shava. It's a limud that doesn't have to stand up to any logic. We just have the limud. There are others that believe that that's true of a gzer shava that's mufni. That's true of a gzer shava that's made with words that are extraneous. But if you make a gzer shava out of words that are needed for other limudim, that's not true. So here, the Gemara is saying, according to that view, that a gzer shava can be undermined by logic if the words are not extraneous, then this could be broken down. You could say, the reason by the asham, the bones are mutarim, is because the bones are also mutarim. But over here, by the olah, where the basar is going on the mizbeach, maybe the bones are not mutarim. So therefore, we say, lo yeh kray yiteruhu. Lo yeh is an extra pasuk, and because of that extra pasuk, we have gzer shava that can supersede logic. We don't have any arguments, and that's how we know by the olah, the bones are mutarim, just like they are by the asham. So just to summarize, we had three opinions here. We had the Tanakama, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Rabbi Akiva. All three of them are trying to explain to us how we know that the Kohanim are entitled to the Orot by Kodshei Kodoshim. The Tanakhama says we learn it out of a Riboy in the Pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel says we learn it out of a Kalvah Chomer from Olad, and certainly where they have Basar by Kodshei Kodoshim, they also will get the Orot. And the last was the position of Rabbi. Rabbi says we don't need to learn it from anywhere else. We know there's a general principle in Kodshim that the Orot follow the Basar. So everywhere else, we know where the Basar goes. By the Olad, we don't know where it goes because you separate the skin from the Basar. We know the Basar goes on Mizbech. What do you do with the Orot? That's what the puzzle comes to teach you by the Olah, that's the exceptional case where the Orot separate from the Basar. Right now, the next Mishnah, and we'll go a drop into the Gemara, and then we'll continue with the sugya tomorrow. Kol HaKodeshim Shir Ben Psul Kodem Lehev Shaitan. Any Kodesh that had a Psul come into it before they were flayed, skinned, in Otarim LeKohanim. The Kohanim are not entitled to the Or anymore. L'Archayev Shaitan, if it's after they already were flayed, or Otarim LeKohanim, the Kohanim get it if the Psul happens after that point in time. Omer Rabbi Chanin Eskana Kohanim, Miyamai Lo Ra'iti Or Shiyotzeh LeBeit HaSrifa. I never saw such a circumstance where the animal was flayed, the skin was taken off, and then it had to go out to be burnt. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Midvarav Lamadnu. From his words we learn out, Shamafshit Etak Bachor, someone who was skinning or flaying a Bachor, Benimsa Trefa, and then after they skinned it, they realized it was a Trefa, Sheoto Kohanim Boro, that the Kohanim are entitled to take that ore still. Chomimimim, Ein Lo Ra'inu Raya, Eliyetze LeBeit HaSrifa. Chomim said, just because he didn't see it, doesn't mean it's a proof that it never happened. Either he might not have been there, or might not have happened during his lifetime. But that's no proof that it never happened. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is, well, based on Rabbi Hanina's testimony, he's telling us something important. We said here that the principle the Mishnah lays out is, if the psul in the korban happened before the fling, then the skins do not belong to the kohanim. If it happens after the fling, then the skins do belong to the kohanim. Well, in an instance when you do the fling, and then you find out it's a trefa, the trefa was there before the skinning process took place. It just, we were not aware of it until after the skinning process. So what Rabbi Akiva is trying to conclude from the position of Rabbi Hanina, or what the fact that Rabbi Hanina never saw such a case of a or being taken out, the Beit Srefa, he's telling us, well, that shows you that if you had a Bechor that deflated and then they found it was a Trefa after the fact that they found it only later makes it that it's after Hefshet and the Kohanim get to keep the or. We don't say retroactively, well, the Trefa was there beforehand, the Kohanim don't get it. And that was the conclusion that Rabbi Akiva was trying to draw from the testimony of Rabbi Hanina, Skana Kohanim. Now the Gemara begins. Koshlo Zacha Mizbeach Bibsara, Lo Zacha Kohanim Beorak. Goes back to our Mishnah, the previous Mishnah. It says anything the Mizbeach doesn't end up with the Basar, the Kohanim are not entitled to the or. Va'afa Gav Dafshate the or Kodem Zrika. Here it sounds like even though the Hefshet took place before the Zrika Taddam, nevertheless, we still have to wait for the Basar to end up in the Mizbeach for the Kohanim to be entitled to the or. That seems to disagree with our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Mani, who's that like? It's like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimoni, Damar, Ein Adam Ratzel or, that the Dam, the Zrikat Adam itself is not enough to be matir the or, bifnei atzmo. You need, in addition to the Zrikat Adam, you also need the Basar to end up on the Mizbeach, which implies that there was another opinion that says that the Zrikat Adam is enough to be matir the orot, even if the Basar doesn't end up on the Mizbeach. Gemara says, well, Ema Seifa, What about the Mishnah we just read? Kol HaKodeshim Shirim Ben Psul Kodem Hef Shaitan. The soul was before the flaying. Ain Orotem the Kohanim. The Kohanim aren't entitled to this. Achar Hef Shaitan, after they were flayed, Orotem the Kohanim. So then the Orot belonged to the Kohanim. Over here, it doesn't say anything about the Basar and the Yom on the Mizbech. Simply about when it took place. Atan the Rabbi. This sounds like Rabbi's position. Damar Adam Miratzel Or. That the Zrika the Dam is enough to clear the Or to give it to the Kohanim. You don't need the Basar on the Mizbeach. So we have the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, sounding like Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Shimon. And we have this Mishnah sounding like Rabbi. So when it says Reisha Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Besefa Rabbi, but now we have a Mishnah where the first part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and the latter part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi. So Amar Abaye, Abaye solves it one way and then Rabbi the other way. Amar Abaye me the Sefa Rabbi he, since the Sefa is Rabbi, Reisha Nami Rabbi. Then the Mishnah, our previous Mishnah also was Rabbi. Well, how can you explain Rabbi in the previous Mishnah? Rabbi said you have to do Zrikat Hadam and that's enough. You don't have to put the Basar on the Mizbeach. So what's the previous Mishnah talking about? So he says, Moda Rabbi Sheinav Sheit Kodem Zrika. That's Rabbi says it's just a practical thing. There is no flaying of the or before the Zrikat Adam. Zrikat Adam would help if the or was already separated before Zrikat Adam. But as a practical consideration, they don't flay it before Zrikat Adam. Therefore, the only matir could be here is that the basar ends up on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mishnah requires the basar to end up on the Mizbeach. But luhaya, that they did flay it before the Zrikat Adam like they weren't supposed to, then the Adam would be matir in such an instance. But the Mishnah is talking about Dibra Behoveh. In a case, normal situation, the Mishnah talks about normal situations where the orot are not taken off till after Zrikat Adam. Therefore, the Zrikat Adam is not the matir, but rather the basar ending up on the Mizbeach, even according to Rabbi. On the other hand, Rava Amar Midrash Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Seifa Nami Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. If the Reisha follows Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position, then Seifa Nami Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon should be in the Seifa. My Kodem Hefshet, my Achar Hefshet. Then what does it mean before, after flaying? Why is that the pivotal point? It should be, the pivotal point should be about whether it ends up on the Mizbeach. So he says, no, Kodem Shinir'ul Hefshet and Achar Shinir'ul Hefshet. The point is, as Rashi points out, the Zrikat Adam. The Zrikat Adam, it's not when they flayed it or when they didn't flay it. Like Rabbi thinks that the flaying makes a difference because if it's separated, then the Adam can be Maratz on it separately. He says, no, that Rabbi Elazar B'Shim says the blood won't do anything for it. The question now is when the Psul happened. Did the Psul happen before Kodem Hefshet, Ra'ui Hefshet, before the period of time when it's Ra'ui to be flayed? Well, that's Zrikat Adam. Or the Psul, did it happen after the point where it's Ra'ui for Hefshet? What's after the point of Rishua the Hefshet? That pivotal point is this Zrikat Adam. So for Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the Sefer of the Mishnah here is not talking about when he flayed it, but rather whether the Psul happened before Zrikat Adam or after Zrikat Adam. If it happened before Zrikat Adam, then there's a problem for the Orot, just like there is for the Basar. If it happened after Zrikat Adam, then the Orot can still be okay, as long as Mizbeach ends up with the Basar. Okay, we'll stop over here.